Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We're located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, verses 11 through 13. The scripture tells us that we need to agree with one another, live in peace, and greet one another with a holy kiss, because the grace of the Lord is with us all. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's word through his message titled, A Kiss Goodbye.
Please be seated. As we come into God's presence together this morning, we come as a people who walk together as part of a shared story. All of us are journeying as part of this tale that God is telling, in which we are given a part. But if we're to live into that part, that purpose, that place, we're going to have a good sense of where that story is taking us. And too often we get distracted. We lose sight of our purpose. We lose sight of why we are here. And when we do that, our story falls apart for us. So now, let's admit the ways that we mistell this tale. Let's admit it by praying together the prayer of confession in our bulletin. Please join with me in the praying of it. Gracious and loving God, what is it that you want us to care about? We find so many ways to orient our lives and so many purposes to pursue. We chase after success and prestige. We turn our eyes to profit and power, and we make those things the hope of our hearts. We struggle and strive against one another, and in that struggling, we tear each other apart. Remind us, gracious God, what it means to live into your peace. Help us, loving God, because we get so lost sometimes. In Christ Jesus, we ask this. Amen. Now, hear the assurance of God's pardon. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Our third scripture reading for this morning is drawn from Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth. I'll be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 through 13. You can follow along on page 186 of your Pew New Testament. Let's now listen a third time for God's holy word. Paul writes, "Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in each and every one gathered here, grant that they be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I was never particularly good at saying goodbye. And that started early. When I was a little pup, maybe 4 or 5, when the time came to say goodbye, well, I was pretty epically bad at it. And this was especially true when it would be birthday parties and all my friends would come over, because I would have been looking forward to it for the longest of times. I would be so psyched. And when they arrived, I would be the gracious little host, and we would play and run around, and I would be on my very best behavior. And we'd play games, and we'd have cake, and then we would play more games. And it was a good time, and there might be presents, which I would get, which was awesome. And then there would be friends, and it was wonderful, and we'd run around. And then their parents would start showing up to get them. And that meant it was time for goodbyes, this moment that we had looked forward to and were sharing together was over. It was coming to an end. And this would have been the point where, had I been a tiny little Mr. Manners, I would probably have politely escorted each of my friends to the door and then out to their waiting parental transport pod, like the small host of some Victorian-era salon. You know, thank you so very much for coming. It was absolutely lovely. I do hope we might be able to do this again sometime soon. Give my regards to your family, you know. Exactly like 4- and 5-year-olds do, you know. So. But this wasn't my reaction. As soon as I realized that the time that I'd looked forward to, the time that we had spent together that was so joyous, was coming to an end, it would be like this little switch was thrown in my little head. Click, it would go. And then, well-mannered little me would be different. And I remember those things. I have these vague memories of inconsolable weeping and flopping around on the ground. You know, there would be tears and snot and piteous wailing, and all of which I'm sure made the very best impression on the parents who were there to pick up their children. Is someone killing a cat next door? They would say. No, that's the birthday boy, my parents would say, as I lay there and tantrumed incoherently. And I still don't like goodbye. As the years went by, I didn't get much better at it, like, you know, after high school. When the time came to part from my high school girlfriend, that first girlfriend, and I went out west with her family, and we spent some weeks there, but it was time to leave, to come back, because I did have to go to college at some point, despite my best efforts to the contrary. I returned after our parting, and, you know, we parted in the airport, and I was very together, and we said our farewells, because that was it. We're on other sides of the country. It's just not going to work out. And so I'm sitting in the plane, getting ready to go back, and I was good for about the first minute or two, and then, you know, those tears and snot and piteous wailing again. You know, is someone killing a cat back there? The pilot would have radioed back to the lead stewardess, like, no, we don't have any idea what's wrong with that kid. It's hard doing closure well, especially if you're not exactly sure when you're going to reconnect, when you're going to come back into the presence of those people or persons who've been a part of your life for so long. You've shared life with them. They are part of the story of yourself as you understand yourself. They're part of that book of you that God is writing into the fabric of creation. And they're part of you, just like you're part of them. And those stories you don't want to end. And that leave-taking, you want to take them with you. You don't want that to stop. And in the goodbye you are sharing with them, you want something to linger, something that brings that time to a close but holds it on a little bit. Today we get two stories of leave-taking from Scripture. The first one from Matthew is As Matthew brings his tale of Jesus to a close in its final moments, those final verses, here in this leave-taking, Matthew is trying to sum things up for the shared story that Jesus told, the shared story he lived out with his disciples and that we kind of live out now too. Now, Matthew ends things differently from the other Gospels. Mark just ends abruptly, so abruptly that the early church slapped a whole bunch of different endings on, saying, you can't end it that way. No, you know, let's do another ending. And then they didn't like that one because it had snakes and poison in it, so they put in another one. But then there's the story of Luke, who doesn't want to end it at all. I mean, we wrap up the gospel, and, well, let's just keep going. Let's go on and keep telling the story of those people who followed Jesus and taught him. He has to keep on going into the early church. But Matthew gives us here his parting words. This is where the story in his telling ends. This is the end of things. We part ways and Vera Lynn's "We'll Meet Again" sings wistfully in the background. Into that place in this story, Jesus speaks confidently about his connectedness to those people he has gathered in community. His words are words of authority. He says, all of this is mine, and what is mine is ours. There is a deeper bond here. You can continue on with confidence. Jesus tells them, know that you and I are now part of something that will always be. I will always be there with you until the end of things. He gives them a sense that that story will carry on. And we get another leave-taking from Paul today, too. Here we have Paul wrapping up his second letter to the church at Corinth. And Paul, well, I mean, Jesus loved his disciples, and Paul had not really had the easiest and most loving relationship with the conflict-ridden mess of a community in Corinth. So here is the last of the words we have from him to that people. He's had an awkward relation. It's been contentious. They haven't gotten along. And it's not because Paul has wanted anything other than their peace. He continually tells them, stop fighting. Stop tearing at each other. And he knows, well, as he knows, what he knows about them is that they're liable to continue. They're going to keep at it. Oh, they could live as he taught them, but they could also not. The Corinthians were pretty good at the not doing what Paul said thing. You know, like where he talks about the holy kiss, which is a way that early Christians greet you. For some reason, when I visualize Corinthians doing this to one another, anyone ever see Godfather 2? That one, you know, with Al Pacino, he's that guy that kisses. The Corinthians like that kind of kiss, not so much the, like, peck on the cheek, it's good to see you. They were a mess. And so as he wraps out this letter, Paul leaves them with something that is both a challenge and a word of encouragement. Put things in order. Stop your insistence on factions and infighting. Here, I'm leaving you not with what bugs me about you guys. This is not Paul departing with one last well-aimed kick. Tempting as that, I'm sure, was for him. Instead, he says, this has always been my hope for you and my hope for us. Find a way to be that best thing we could have been together. And yeah, there is a flip side to the words he offers up to them. I mean, he does say, you know, and God's peace will be with you if you do these things. The God of love and peace will be present. The flip side of that, of course, is if you guys don't, it's gonna be the thing that it's been. Be better. He's intentional about how he chooses to end, how he chooses to close out that time he has spent with them. He chooses to be graceful. He doesn't lose sight of the reason he walked with them, the reason he hoped for them, the reason he struggled with them. His leave-taking is in the form of a good word, a benediction. And that should be a somewhat familiar benediction, I might add. Let this relationship, this hope we share, carry on. Please understand why we have been together in the time we've had. And from Jesus and from Paul, I think there are important things for us to hear in what is, for so many of us, a season of leave-taking and goodbyes and preparation for goodbyes. Oh, I mean, I know you never know when you're going to head on. Ours is a culture of churn, a culture where we're always on the move. But the coming of summer every year marks a time in our society when we take the leave of people we've known for a long time. We move away from the places and faces that are familiar parts of us. And there's celebration in that. It's time for advancement into the next grade or the next school. It's time for graduation, which, as I remind my sons, is better than the alternative. But as hoped for as those moments are, when you move on to a new place or when you move from education and then out into the world, the reality of them is that they mark the ending of a story and a moving away from some familiar faces. That day in, day out presence of people who've been around you changes. And if you're not moving on, others are. A face, a voice, a presence that has been part of your life, in many cases since the moment it came into the world, is not going to be part of your everyday. And I feel that myself as a dad today. Every time I wrap my arms around my children, like my 16-year-old who shuffled out to make me breakfast in bed, even though I was getting up too early and I had too much emergency last-minute editing on the sermon to do. He's up in the mornings. How much longer will that be so? I used to carry that little boy on my shoulders to bed every night after story time. And that boy now looks like a man who stares down at me from shoulders that are like here. The time he's going to have with me is shorter now than the time I've been here in this place. That's not very long. It doesn't feel like it's long enough. When I'm going to have to try to find good words to say as he steps out into the world and is no longer that really surprisingly large presence in the bed that he's been sleeping in since I could carry him. It's hard to know how to take that leave well. Because, you know, I think it's good that I am preaching this sermon now, rather than 2 years from now when he leaves, because then choking out the words would be too hard. I would rather not subject you to the tears and the snot and the piteous wailing. Is someone killing a cat up there, a guest would ask one of you, and you'd say, no, that's just the pastor. But even though I know it will be a struggle to take my leave when that day comes, I hope in that time I'm able to remember the way that Paul and his beloved teacher, I'll remember the way they took their leave. Both of them spoke from a certainty that the time they had spent with those around them they loved, even those they loved when it was hard to love them, that time was woven up in God's story of us together. And in that story, we remain forever part of one another. And we carry that story with us wherever it is that love and peace abide. From Matthew, we hear our teacher saying, "I am with you always." And that truth, that shared truth of our common purpose, carries with us that truth of grace and of love and of communion with one another. Stays with us, no matter how hard those times of parting can be. Let's live into that, remember that as we take our leaves. Let that be so, for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
It's hard to say goodbyes. It is. It's hard to find that way to take your leave of those who've been a part of your life for a very long time. But whenever we encounter those places of leave-taking, it's important, you know, to avoid the tears and the snot. It really, a little bit's okay. People appreciate that you're sorry they're going. But to know that as we move away from others, that we really are taking a piece of them with us, that we are carrying that shared time we had together as a precious thing, we can celebrate that. And in those places where you have to take a leave that isn't ideal, where things have been a little rough and you part maybe not on the best of terms, the thing to remember from Paul is that when you take that leave, leave with the hope that you always poured into that relation. Carry that with you as your memory, so that whenever you part in a way that reflects your love for that other. In whatever partings you have in the weeks to come or months to come or for the rest of life, where partings come so often, remember those things. Carry them with you and let them sustain you. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us today and our whole lives long. Amen.